Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast week of August 15th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach. And joining me this week, we have Joe.
Howdy ho, bitches.
And Chris.
Hey, y'all.
That wasn't your usual witty one-liners, guys, but...
No.
I'm sorry. Do you want to do over? I'm really sorry.
Take two.
I'm just not feeling
it. No, it's fine. We'll keep going.
Okay. I apologize. I'll be better next
week. Think you guys better, like, come up with, like, 10 and submit them to me.
Yes, sir.
I want them on my desk by 9 o'clock tomorrow.
You're so hostile.
So, I think we got a good show as usual. So why don't we kick it off right, as we usually do, with show and tell. So, Joe, what did you watch over the last week?
Okay. So, I have a confession.
Okay.
I have not devoted any time to watching The Office. I'm one of the only people probably in the Western world who does not watch the show. I've heard good things, but I was just intimidated by the fact that I've missed so much of it, and I know it's not leaving Netflix anytime soon, so point of the story is, you know, I just kept putting it off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't you have it that I started watching The Office, and I'm fucking hooked. What a good-ass show. And I don't really need to go that far into it, but that's been eating up most of my time.
Okay.
So, fucking A. If I start dropping some, like, jokes from 2006, I really apologize. It's, like, new and fresh.
You hear me doing, like, somebody like that's what she says?
Yeah, oh my god. It's like, I'm basically like Steve / Gorak, the caveman, in that episode of South Park where they find the guy from 1997.
Yep.
And he's dressed in the Eddie Bauer clothes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically what I am right now. Because I'm so far behind in The Office. But, alas, it's an awesome show. And better late than never.
It gets significantly less awesome as it goes on. But
okay,
last season
was
horrible.
I don't know, man. It's got its moments.
Yeah, it's still funny, but it's not. It's like
it's never season two funny.
No, it's not like falling off your couch. Like season two or three was like every episode was hilarious. This one was like, it gets like a chuckle or like a grin, but it's like, okay, yeah.
It's definitely like move the plot along episodes, plenty of those in the season.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to get Michael out of the office. There's like the whole Michael's leaving, so we have to focus on that.
Yeah, I don't know. That kind of dragged on way too much.
But anyway.
Yeah. What a laugh.
If I still watch a couple episodes next season just to see how it goes, but. Like, Community and Parks and Recreation are definitely way, way better than The Office now.
Oh, well, now. Yeah. But, so, other than that, Friday night, I threw on an oldie but goodie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Anchorman, which I recently purchased on Blu-ray disc.
Is that still only, you can get that on Blu-ray only at Best Buy?
No, I actually got mine from Amazon.com,
okay.
And I got, like, the No Frills edition.
So I remember, like...
Best Buy exclusive is the Rich Mahogany edition.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's the one that comes with, like, trading cards and, like, a bunch of, like, you know, ass grabbery. I already own Wake Up Ron Burgundy on DVD. I didn't feel like paying extra to buy it again. I really just cared about having the movie and, like, the commentary and, like, the gag reels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for $10, like, I think that was a pretty sound investment.
Yeah.
So I watched that, which I found something out about myself. I laugh at some retarded things. I'm basically 4 when you cut to the core of me. So watching that movie with someone who's like actually into like decent films and like has taste, kind of a harrowing experience. Because like I'll be laughing my ass off and like I'll look up and be like, "Was that funny to you?" No, all right, because it's a. See, the joke's about his dick. he has a boner right now, and boners are funny to me. Okay, never mind. So that was a little bit nerve-wracking. Speaking of nerve-wracking, I also finally saw, and I now, you know, have left, I saw Little Miss Sunshine,
mm-hmm.
which I've actually never seen, but apparently is like everyone and their mother's favorite movie. I'm not going to lie, it's a little overrated. You know, it's definitely, I guess, charming for one of those, you know, gosh darn indie films. And, you know, it's a great dramedy.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, just not a movie that I'm going to need to rewatch anytime soon. I feel like I get the joke now, and I've seen it, and, I can sort of bury that part of my life.
You can say you've seen another Oscar-nominated film from whenever it came out.
Yeah, really. So
like 2006 or something.
Yeah, sometime around there.
No, I'm just at the cutting edge of you know, new releases. Mm-hmm. So,
man, it sounds like you're on like a Steve Carell just like marathon there.
Fuck, I really hope that's not it. I hope it's not some random like suppressed. Gate
How about Get Smart? Huh? You gonna watch Get Smart? Huh?
I also popped in Evan Almighty.
Oh God.
And,
wow.
Date in real life.
Yeah. Sadly, that's basically it for me.
Okay. The Steve Carell
thon. I'll be better next time. I'm sorry.
So, Chris, me and you, we saw, well, it wasn't last weekend, but the weekend before, we saw the big, well, it's still the number one movie, but Planet of the Apes.
I don't know why that's number one. Oh, you mean like, you know, the Curious Adventures of Curious George?
The Adventures of Curious George.
The most curious little monkey.
So, what'd you think of it, Chris?
It's not bad as a movie. Like,
it's a board game. It sucks.
Yeah, man. Like, I never want to play the video game. The,
Man. Man, that'd probably actually be awesome. Like, if it was like an RTS with, like, you Caesar and you control, like, different squads of monkeys going around.
Dude, fuck that. If this were 1994, that would have been an SNES game.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have had a commercial on TV, too. It's like, this summer, based on the blockbuster game, the apes will rise. Radical! And then it's just, like, side-scrolling of, like, primitive graphics.
You are Caesar!
You are the Planet of the Apes. What does that even mean? Tubular! College! High fives.
I mean, the thing is, like, the trailer showed so much of the monkeys, like, you know, getting ready and attacking humans.
Yeah.
And that's only the last, like, 5 minutes of the mm-hmm. movie. So that was, like, all this build-up. Like, anytime now. Anytime you want to evolve and, like, throw something at somebody. Come on.
Throw some poop, you stupid monkey.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, come on. Just go nuts. Go nuts. Caesar, go nuts. Anytime. Fuck. Like, and it's, like, 5 years later. I was like, God damn it.
No. Yeah, that was the weird, like, one of the weird things is, like, it had, like, these, like, time jumps.
Yeah.
Like.
That was the,
It was, like, I remember, like, you had, like, baby Caesar when, like, his mom, like, Caesar's mom goes crazy and, like, gets shot at, like, the James Franco's, like, big board meeting, like, presentation of his drug. It was supposed to cure Alzheimer's, and then, like, they find baby Caesar. And so he takes Caesar home, and then it's, like, 5 years later.
Well, no, it's 8 years from that scene to
yeah,
what happens
and then,
later.
Like, so then it's, like, Caesar growing up and stuff, and then they take him to the the field trip to, like, the Redwoods outside of San Francisco, and he's, like, swinging through trees, and it's, like, 8 years later or 5 years later or whatever.
5 years later, like, what? Like, that was one hell of a tree.
He's, like, he was spinning in that tree for a long time. The weather was changing.
The same clothes. Yeah, just, like, do they not care? I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I gotta say, like, that hot Indian, like, veterinarian. Mm-hmm. I forget what other movie she was in. I think she was in Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. She's gonna be in Immortals.
Yeah.
Frida Pinto.
Fucking A.
Just one thing I didn't get was her character, because she seemed really oblivious because of their 5-year relationship.
Yeah, she did.
She's like, she didn't know, like, a smart monkey was a smart monkey. Like, she's like, that's not natural for a monkey to do what it's doing. And she's like, oh, like, what did you do? And, like, she gets pissed when she finds out. Like, you didn't question it for 5 years.
Yeah, wasn't it, like, it was after, like, the 5 years, like, she just, like, stumbles into, like, James Franco's, like, office of, like,
charts
data about Caesar.
All these like, charts.
She, like, lives with them. She, like, hangs out. She, like, never questioned why they hang out with a smart-ass monkey. Like, they just...
I've never been in this room before.
This is the only room in the house I'm not allowed in. It's, like, next to the kitchen. I'm just like, wow.
There's, like, five padlocks on the door. Don't go in there!
And, the movie was great to tie in the Tim Burton movie.
It didn't. It wasn't supposed to tie into the Tim Burton movie.
But I thought the Mars,
but
like...
It did.
That's what I thought. Like, I thought it kind of...
It's kind of confusing, but it's a reboot of the original series, kind of. Like, this is supposed to be, how the original Charles Manson landing on Earth, like, this is how it was supposed to happen, or, like, a different version of how it happened. Like, just...
I mean, I like how you could pick which one. I mean, it's very left to interpretation.
Yeah, it could work for either one, I guess, but...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it wasn't like... Because, you know, in the first one, what happened was they nuke the world, and that's why everything looks like shit.
Yeah. Yep.
And the second
But they never
version,
explained, like, why
like...
monkeys are running around as super intelligent. Yeah. But, because of, like, Terminator time loops and stuff, because Cornelius and Zira go back in time and create the super intelligent apes. So that's why they're super intelligent apes. It's like a weird time travel paradox.
Yeah, I just remember those nuclear blasts, and like at least this problem was more biological, so like humans could die, but not like animals. That's why I was like, oh, that was cool. Mm-hmm. And then the other version was like a dust cloud that kills anything, so I prefer this version.
Nuclear.
Why?
That's why we talked about Monkey Jesus the last time. We're like, maybe they just like changed faces from humans to monkeys. So I'm like, all right, that's possible.
Yeah, like you could make an argument of like that explains how like if Tim Roth's character from the Mark Wahlberg one came back and like apes already controlled the planet, then he could like take over somehow.
And that it was like a big public works, like changing every statue to monkey
because he has a gun. But then the other monkeys would have guns too, so I don't really understand. I don't know.
I don't know. Like it's very like if they make a sequel, if they're gonna show like monkeys like doing production and like.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Well, they have some, like, I don't know if you read, like, the director had, like, some crazy ideas for, like, the sequel. Like, he has, like, two ideas that he wants to, like, maybe do. Like, one is, like, apocalypse, like, a Full Metal Jacket or, like, Apocalypse Now, like, monkeys, like, fighting the remaining humans.
No.
And the second one is, like, the monkeys, like, moving into, like, human society, like, buildings and stuff and, like, taking them over. And then, like, there's, like, human spies running around, like, working for the monkeys and stuff.
Kind of like Avatar, but monkeys.
Kinda, yeah.
Oh man, let's not. I don't know. Like the people enjoy the Planet of the Apes as like humans trying to like survive, not monkeys trying to like live in our society because that's what happened to the last like few movies that no one remembers. Like we remember them because we looked it up, but like it's not something like I can just recall like frequently. Like oh yeah,
especially like Conquest or Battle for the like last two.
Like, they don't show them anymore on sci-fi. No. I remember they used to show them, like, marathons, but, yeah, that's in the past. I've been watching, still trying to catch up on Louie.
I
don't know why I'm doing this to myself.
I was
going to
talk a little more about Planet of the Apes, but...
Oh, okay.
Because I think I liked it more than, like, a lot more than you did, Chris.
But, maybe, because for me, I'm just, I went, like, on an afternoon showing, and it was filled with just, like, old people, and I just kept laughing, because... I don't know, just the right setting, because it was no one like got the science behind it. No one in the audience was like, everyone was like old, so they're just like, I'll die soon, you know? Like I don't care.
I wish they would come up with a cure for Alzheimer's.
I know, I was so depressed. I was like, oh god, like I this is the wrong group to go in.
I really relate to that John Lithgow character.
That was sad.
It was.
Man. I felt like John Lithgow, man. He's what a good actor because he can make me like fear him in Dexter. He can make me hungry in Campbell's soup, and like he could like sell me on him like not knowing that Mustang is not his.
Yeah.
When he was...
Oh man, how about that like neighbor guy? Like the world's biggest douchebag.
He is what like every suburbia in the world has one of those guys. He's like overprotective of his property, has like kids he can't really like he doesn't watch.
Yeah.
And he's just like always yelling at people. And then he gets beat up by a monkey. You know, just it's a natural cycle.
Like when I wonder if it's just like they're the most oblivious people ever too, because it's like there's a monkey and there's a guy with Alzheimer's living next door, and he doesn't know either of them.
They don't question it for 5 years. They don't question it at all for, like, those, I don't know how many, like, 8 years total.
Like,
from getting Caesar to, like, when he grows up. Like, I don't, no one questions a giant monkey wearing, like, a sweater.
I don't know that, like, John Lithgow has Alzheimer's, too, because he, like, he gets in the car and he's like, what did you do, steal my fucking car, you idiot? Get out of my car, I'm gonna call the cops.
I guess no one talks to each other in that neighborhood. Like, they just, I don't know how you can keep a monkey a secret for that many years. And
he
then,
lives in the attic.
And his just looks in the attic, stares at people, and just like, you know, in a neighborhood, you move in furniture, someone's gonna notice. You have a live animal, someone's gonna notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those, like, you know, suspense belief that these neighbors aren't nosy and aren't, like, aware of things going around them. Because when they see that, like, when John Lithgow, like, has a fit, breaks that car, monkey tries to save, Caesar has to save John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Like, all the neighbors come out and they're like, oh, hey, is this a block party? Like, no, it's a monkey!
I'm gonna get my cell phone out. I'm gonna tape this.
Oh, man, like, call the animal control and, you know, like, props to animal control, because they got that monkey and it seemed like no problem.
Yeah.
Then they take it to that factory, not factory, but they take it to that, like, monkey sanctuary.
Yeah.
That's just, like, the most cliche, like, oh, it's a front. It's, like, front, the when you come in and jump off a monkey, which, you know, I guess people do a lot in Washington or whatever
It's San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. They just have, like, one.
People, there's a lot of people that, like, want monkeys for pets, and then it's like, oh, he's gonna rip my face off next year. I better turn him into the sanctuary.
Or drop it off.
And, why, who has gorillas, too, and stuff? There's, like, gorillas and orangutans
I feel like a monkey sanctuary should be, like, for a certain group and not that much, but it felt like they were just collecting, and they didn't know how to stop.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, what do you got, a rhinoceros? Fuck it, give it to me. What's that? Is that an orangutan? Yeah, why not? You know, just take it all.
And of course, Draco Malfoy, like, causes the downfall of humanity, too, by being a huge douchebag.
I that's another thing. I didn't know that he was the son of Brian Cox in that movie. Did you know that?
Not till, like, I read, like, IMDb or something, but...
Like, they don't mention it. They don't mention it at all. Like, why is this guy such a dick to the monkeys? And, like, why is this place so under, like, employed? There's only three people working.
Yeah.
And Brian Cox is always like, yeah, whatever. I'm going, like, home.
Drinking and being like, yeah, I'm Brian Cox.
They only paid me, like, only a couple thousand for these words. All right, goodbye. And, like, he just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the whole manager of the place. And for maybe, like, what, 10 minutes of the whole movie, he shows up. He's like, all right, I'm going off, like... Dad, it's like 10 a.m. We just opened the sanctuary. He's like, you're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You and the handicapped guy, whatever.
Sure, you can bring your dates here drunk. I don't care.
They just like, beer? Fuck it. You know, monkeys? Yeah, why not? Bring your douchebag friends.
Mm-hmm.
We just like... That's another thing I was really confused about. It's like that one scene where those like teenagers or whatever come in and hang out with the monkeys. Is this really like a place you want to drink?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, tend to do.
I mean, it's also awesome to drink with, like, animals.
Drink and watch monkeys.
Drink and watch monkeys in cages that are obviously, like, very angry and sad, so it's not, like, entertaining. It's like, you gotta be kind of a sick individual to, like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, he is, so.
I know, but it felt like that was so, like I was thinking, like, what are they gonna show that he's, like, a bad guy? Is he gonna hit a monkey? Like, he's done that. Is he gonna abuse a monkey? He's gonna like what? What's the next level? Like, is he gonna rape a monkey? Like, I was expecting like he's gonna rape someone. And I was like, oh god, because it really was that kind of like prison, kind of place. But you know,
that's why I actually like I love that whole like because it's like this movie had like three parts where it was like the first part was like I don't know like a pet like boy and his pet movie for like the first part, and then it was like the second part was like a prison movie, and the third part was just like animal rampage movie. The second part was awesome. Just like Caesar is like he's like making deals and he's like taking control of the prison and stuff. Like,
yeah, it felt like an episode of Oz, like watching a guy like a new guy trying to like burn his way to the top.
Yeah, there was like well, he became part of his entourage, but like the gray monkey Rocket or whatever. Like he was like
which one was Rocket?
He was the gray chimp.
Was like oh, he was the dude.
He was like the bully. The first, like, and then like Caesar like frees like a Buck, the giant gorilla, and like.
That was his name?
Yeah, his name is Buck.
I didn't even know that.
It was on his cage. Like, all their names were on the cages.
No.
Like,
I don't read.
You're more attentive to the movie, Chris.
Hey, you didn't know that Draco Malfoy was like the son of Brian Cox.
If you don't say it, then you can't know it. But like, you can see like names on the cages and stuff. But I love like he like lures Rocket into like the like whatever the play area or whatever, and like Buck is just like they're like, yeah, you better straighten the fuck up.
That was pretty.
And then
cool.
Like Caesar like is like gaining favor with everyone, like giving them all cookies and stuff, like just walking through the prison, giving them everyone cookies.
I'm surprised he didn't have like, I don't think there's any female apes in that, or monkeys
no,
at all.
I don't think
like
so.
Because like, you know, I'm like, where's his entourage of like bitches? I don't
probably
know.
Probably should, yeah. So. And he had like Maurice, who was like the circus orangutan who knew sign language.
Yeah, that was kind of mm-hmm. cool. And like, that was like a very like, oh, he's got a friend.
So
then, and then
yeah,
he doesn't do anything.
So it was like Buck, Rocket, and Maurice became like Caesar's like generals. And then the end, like the end of like just like them rampaging through San Francisco was like fucking awesome.
I mean, it was kind of an awkward rampage because they were all just trying to get to the bridge.
Yeah,
but I felt like there were so many unnecessary things they did.
Well, like they're freeing other monkeys from like the zoo and like from like the whatever the genetic company or whatever that James Franco worked for.
Yeah, but like I get that like he poisoned his own group to make them smarter.
Yeah.
But then he broke out other monkeys that may or may not have been, like, the same level.
Yeah.
So, like, where the hell did they go?
I don't know. Just following
along. I'll just follow these guys, whatever.
I mean,
it's cool that he could build up more numbers. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like, oh, fuck yeah. And then, like, they did all the smart stuff on the bridge.
Yeah, the Golden Gate Bridge sequence was amazing. Because it was, like, Caesar just, like, commanding everyone to, like, he's, like, the gorillas are, like, pushing a bus, to, like, it's, like, a bullet shield and, like, chimps are going high, orangutans are going low, and just, like, ambushing the cops. It was awesome. Then, like, Buck's, like, sacrificed to, like, destroy the helicopter. They kind of showed it off in the trailer, but it was still awesome in the movie.
I mean, like, it was, but I kind of knew, like, that wasn't going to end, like, good. Because, like, you throw a monkey in a flying vehicle, like, it's not going to land safely.
No. That was the point. He was already getting, like, shot, like, 10 times, but...
Yeah. How about that black evil businessman who just, like, was... was so cliche.
Yeah.
Just, everything's a profit.
Well, pretty much
every when he was hurt.
Yeah. Every human character in this movie was like a cliche.
That's so cool. I just like how like when he was injured in the helicopter, asked for help. All I could think was like, this is not a profit. such a market loss.
And it was like the evil monkey. It was like the monkey that like he tortured in like the company. The scar like whatever the scarred monkey.
Oh man, I forgot what his name.
Like Cabo or something.
Something like that. It was cool because he was like a veteran test monkey, which was the only monkey movie I've ever seen was like that. Was from Congo, mm-hmm. which is like still my like like first or second favorite monkey ape
That's
movie.
Like
so
your favorite monkey rampage movie?
Yeah, I mean those white albino like apes that like smashed Tim Curry in the nuts. Like fuck yeah,
and killed Bruce Campbell.
Oh, they did
in like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Those best.
I know.
Damn dirty apes.
Oh, wait, no, we haven't we talked about, though. Fucking Caesar himself, like, the CG for Caesar was amazing.
I guess. I mean,
oh my God.
I'm not one of those CG, like, oh, man, every year
so
gets
jaded,
better.
Chris, you're such a jaded, critical person.
He could have been a bunch of blocks. I don't know. Like, I don't care.
It was, like, I mean, it was, like, Gollum or, like, King, like, it was like Andy Serkis did like amazing like motion capture and stuff, and it was like you could actually like I love how you could actually like tell like what he's thinking, and like there was no dialogue pretty much between like Caesar and the monkeys, but you could like you knew exactly what he was saying and like exactly what he wanted them to do and stuff. So
yeah,
I love that part.
Yeah, that was like nonverbal commands.
Mm-hmm. You just like point or grunt, and you could like know exactly what he's talking about.
That definitely was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not the first movie that did it, though. So
it's one. I say Caesar's like one of the best CG characters ever on film so far.
I still like King Kong. Like, I still like that CG.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say it's like, if you combine, like, the emotional, like, performance of Gollum with, like, the physical of King Kong, you get Caesar.
Isn't, like, the
same
guy
who
plays all
circuits, yeah. He's like the master of motion capture.
And it's too bad because like his only speaking role was like in The Prestige.
Yeah, it's David Bowie's assistant.
Yeah.
I think he has a speaking role in Tintin coming up.
Oh, sure. I forgot he's in Tintin.
Yeah. Well, of course he is, because it's motion capture.
Oh, submarine CG? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
He's like number one on, like, Weta's speed dial. So you thought I was okay. I would say it's probably one of the summer for me.
Well, we made fun of it because it seemed like the predecessor movie was so bad, and any hopes for it were kind of like dead. So I do admit that was a surprise. But imagine really die hard Planet of the Apes fans were like, yeah, it's gonna kick ass.
There's probably like five of those people left, and like all 60-year-old men or something, or 70-year-old men.
Wearing the
I remember
mask.
When there was Charlton Heston, and he said, get those damn dirty paws off me. And the women didn't talk, and that was good.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's probably my top five for the summer.
Man, I don't know how to organize my list yet.
We might have to do like an end of the summer, like, special feature coming up soon, maybe. So, there's a full review up on the everythingaction.com if you want to go read my thoughts on Planet of the Apes. So, what else did you see, Chris?
I've been catching up on Louis, like I said. I don't know why. I just... Ever since, like, I like his stand-up. Joe's always right. Like, his stand-up's always a lot better than his show is. But I watched one episode, like, his latest episode, is where he revisits Lucky Louie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just for a brief moment, just to like, analyze his past mistake and just, like, why the show failed. And this is the same episode that he meets Dane Cook. So it's kind of very interesting to see, like, how these guys could, like, interact with each other.
Was Dane actually in it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You tell me stuff?
It's kind of funny because they were talking about, like, this is the one part I like about Louis C.K.'s show is that they bring out, like, his demons of his past a lot. And, if you don't know his history, then, you like, some of the jokes, like, they get lost. Mm-hmm. But if you follow, like, his history and watch the show, it's very, like, oh, it's, you know, like, it reflects so well. Because I guess in the past, people have been saying that Dane Cook copied Louis C.K.,
and Joe Rogan, he stole the Tiger's fucking joke from him, but that's neither here nor there.
Right. So, the point in this one, Louis confronts Dane about that joke about his itchy asshole. So, like, it was funny because they were talking about, like, why both their asses itch for a few seconds. And, like, that was pretty cool. And Louis was like, maybe you've seen my stand-up. Like, I know you've seen my stand-up, and somewhere in the back of your head, you know, you actually copied me. And Dane's just like, won't admit it. But Louis won't admit that he didn't stop it. You know, because he called them out. Like, they both called each other out, but none of them prevented, like, each other's bullshit, you know? So it's kind of cool to see that. And, like, right when, like, it picks up to the point, like, okay, like, where's the funny? It just ends. I'm just like, ah, fuck you, Louis. You always do this to me. It's like, goddamn cock tease. So, I don't know why. I always go back to it. It's very, like, it's like an abusive relationship watching the show. You know, it's like it's always saying, like, honey, like, I'll treat you well. I hurt you with love. Like, oh, like, is the next episode gonna be better? Yeah, it will. No, it isn't. But there's this funny scene because for some strange reason, I don't know who is Louis's, like, promoter or, like, marketing people, but this episode had Bob Saget in it too for, like, just a side character. And I was like, what? Bob Saget, like, not doing anything? I know he's not doing anything, but really, Bob Saget?
He had that show for, like, three episodes.
What show?
He had, like, a show where he was going to try, like, Anthony Bourdain himself or something. Like, he's just going to go around and visit people and do...
He's not interested.
And do weird things. I don't know. I thought he was going to, like, some sort of, like, weird... Like,
he's on my How I Met Your Mother as a voiceover guy, but...
Man, I don't know.
That's all I know. He's up.
He's going to, like, weird, like, events and stuff. It was like a travel show with him.
He's not
on, like, A&E or something. I don't know.
But yeah, been watching that and Bait Car on TLC.
Oh my God.
Just
the fuck?
You know, they just put a car somewhere and they just like they rig it so they can shut it off after someone steals it.
Yep.
It started like a YouTube thing, just like one late night. I was like, just YouTubing a bunch of those kind of things, and then I figure out there was a TV show.
There's a show? Oh my god.
There's a show based on this? Like, this is, like, I remember in the past, this was just like a sick thing that, like, a police department would do just to, like, make fun of the community that they live in. Then, like, someone had the right idea to, like, make this a show, and I was like, really? Like, this is not as bad as To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
But it's close to it. So, it might be my new favorite drinking game if I could figure out the rules and, like, see enough shows to get like, common themes.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, like, that's my week.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's like, none of it, they don't make sense. Mm-hmm.
So, I watched a couple things last week. One thing I watched, I don't know if you guys heard, but Cinemax is entering the original programming arena.
I don't know who they think they are.
Stars? I don't know. But they, so last Friday they had aired the first two episodes of their new show, which actually, it's actually a British show that this is like technically the second season of the show. Like the first season aired just in Britain, but the second season is airing on Cinemax and in Britain. It's like sort of co-produced by them.
What?
And apparently, like, the first season had, like, a bunch of characters, and, like, second season is, like, completely new characters, like old characters and some new characters, but it's, like, I guess, like, somehow not related to the first season at all, so that's why they're airing it now as, like, the first season on Cinemax.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of messed up.
There's, like, you won't look it up. It's new to you. But, it's basically like British 24, but like if British if 24 was on like a premium cable channel, because it has like just like boobs everywhere and like people are swearing. There's like blood everywhere.
All right, that's enough like traits that I can follow.
Those are relevant to your interests. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's like there's like an overarching plot of like there's this secret British like terrorist unit called Section 20 that's looking for this terrorist leader called Latif, and one of their like operatives gets captured, and then they're trying to find him, and they find like this American guy in like Thailand who like used to work with the guy that got captured. So they bring him in, and they find out that the guy's gonna be at like this hotel in India, so the team goes there, and like they go like where the meeting's supposed to happen, but then like terrorists take over the hotel. So it turns into like a Die Hard sort of scenario.
This is all in the first episode?
It's the first two episodes.
Okay.
So like the first two episodes basically like the American guy and the British guy trying to like defuse the situation and like find like this terrorist guy. And the American guy is like your typical like John McClane, like he's definitely like a Mr. Cowboy. As Han Gruber would say. Because he's like he has constantly one-liners and like shoot first, ask questions later, and like fucking everything he sees. And then like the British guy's like straight laced, like do everything by the book.
Is he wearing a tuxedo?
No.
Oh, then fuck this guy.
His name's Michael Stonebridge though, so it's very British. So yeah, it's basically them like trying to like survive this like hotel siege, and like the Indian cops are like gonna break in after like an hour, and then there's like a big like 24 plot like esque plot twist at the end where like one of the guys you didn't think was like the guy you thought was a terrorist leader is not the terrorist leader, and then it goes on for the rest of the season. But I mean, it was a decent action show. Like if it didn't have like the violence or the language or the sex, it'd probably be like a good like CBS or Fox show.
All right. I mean, we need another 24, like, replacement.
Yeah. Like, I think Hawaii 5-0 is probably the closest thing we have to a 24 replacement right now.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Yeah, but this is definitely closer to, like, terrorist plot, like, crazy terrorist plots and, like, secret terrorist organization and, like, completely, unrealistic technology and stuff. And you can actually, if you go to Cinemax.com, you can actually watch, like, the first two episodes for free. And then, obviously, you have to play for, like, Cinemax or whatever, or download them to get the rest of the season, but... It's, I would say check it out if you want, if you're a fan of 24, like, action shows. And then, yeah. The other thing I did, actually, I read, to change it up a little bit, I actually read the first book of The Hunger Games.
I
the phenomenon that is The Hunger Games. It's going to be a movie next year.
Yeah, explain.
You never, you've never heard of The Hunger Games, Chris?
Nope.
Okay.
Joe?
I've heard of it, but I've heard of a lot of things. So.
Have you guys heard of Battle Royale?
Yes. Oh, yes. Isn't that like a spinoff or something?
It's like the same genre of like kids put into an arena to battle people to the death.
Oh yeah, that's a hobby of mine actually.
But like it's got it's definitely got a more like fleshed out world and stuff, and like Battle Royale, which is like Japanese kids killing each other. Go. You have bomb structure on your necks. Go.
Well, yeah, that's why they kill each other. Yeah. But this
has like a whole like fleshed out like history like world, and like it's got like it's a weird like post-apocalyptic world kind of, because there was like a huge war that like wiped out pretty much every country that you know. So now this like new country called Pan Am like rose up, and there's like a capital in the middle, and there's like 12 different districts around it. And, like, it's pretty much all of North America is, like, this new country called Pan Am. And, like, the different districts, like, do, like, different, like, labor. They do, like one of the districts is, like, coal mining, and one's, like, agriculture and stuff. So I guess
did you ever read the original Battle Royale?
The book? No, I never read the book.
I mean, it didn't explain what happened around the world, except for Japan.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was very simple. It's, like, modern day. Mm-hmm. Except, like, half the book is about everyone's backstory and childhood. About characters that get introduced for, like, maybe 5 minutes and then get killed. But then it's like, oh, like, here's, like, what they thought before they died. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
oh. So, well, in Hunger Games, it's like, the districts sort of, like, they had, like, there was a revolt, but they got put down. And, like, one of the districts got, like, completely destroyed. So, like, every year, as, like, punishment, they have to, like, send two kids, a boy and a girl, to, like, the capital and to compete in the Hunger Games. Which is, like, a battle to the death in, like, a arena. There's, like, a different arena every year. Like, some years there's been, like, ice, or some years it's been, like, desert and stuff. But they have to, like, battle to death, and, like, the winner gets, like tons of money, tons of food for their district and stuff. So, and then basically if I was, like, our heroine, Katniss, who is from District 12.
Katniss
Everdeen. And she gets, like, picked, and, well, she had, like, her sister gets picked. She's, like, her sister's, like, 10 years old, and, like, so Katniss, like, takes her place. And it's basically, like, her going to the arena and, like, training and stuff. And then the whole book is, like, basically just, like, she's trying to survive in the woods during the games and, like, killing, like, she's, like, an extra archer, so, like, she's, like, shooting people with bows and arrows and stuff. And then there's also, like, crazy, like, apparently, like, the capital is able to, like, genetically, like, modify animals and stuff. So there's, like, these, like, giant hornets that, like, if they sting you, you get, like, these, like, you get, well, like, crazy, and there's, like, hallucinogenic stuff, and there's things, so, like, you start seeing, like, crazy stuff, and you die eventually if you, like, get stung by too many of them. And, like, they turn, like, all the dead people into, like, these, like, killer rabid dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome, but, like, I started a second book, and I think... Because I think it's kind of, like, it's focused toward, like, teenage girls, but, like, it's for, like, everyone, but I guess, like, the folk, it's, like, target demographic is, like, teenage girls, I guess, but the second book is definitely showing that a little bit, because there's, like, this whole, like, plot of, like, during the Hunger Games, like, Katniss had, like, pretend to be in love with, like, her fellow District 12 boy, so they could get, like, more money from the sponsors to, like, play the audience and stuff.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then, like...
I don't know how many books in the series,
there's
though.
Three of them. But then it's like, does she really have feelings for him, or does she have feelings for this other kid? And then it's like, if she doesn't keep pretending she's in love with the kid, then like the capital's gonna like destroy like District 12 because it's like causing uprisings and stuff.
you're too popular. Fuck
yeah,
you.
Well, they pretty much, like, outsmarted, like, the people at the end of the game. So, and they're, like, they're pissed off about that because they got outsmarted, so. But I would say it's, like, if you want to, like, read them before the movie comes out next year, it's definitely worth a read. Like, the first one, definitely. So, that's all I've been doing last week. So, I'm going to get into news and kick it off like you do with trailers. And I think the only trailer we're talking about last week was the trailer for Coriolanus. Did you guys check this one out?
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
No.
I'm glad to see you guys did your homework for the show.
Is that some sort of maneuver? I don't know.
It's actually a Shakespeare play.
I think it's an old, old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
Yes. No, it's actually a Shakespeare play.
Oh. Who?
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Oh, Billy Shakes.
Who probably didn't write all his plays, according to... We'll find out in November if that's true or not. But I guess it's a Shakespeare play where it's about this Roman general who is like a big war hero, but he tries to run for like consul in Rome, but the people are not behind him, so he gets like cast out of Rome. So he has to, like, join forces with, like, his, like, arch enemy that he, like, he conquered or, like, defeated in his, like, military career. So he has to team up with him to, like, take revenge on Rome. And so this new movie is the directorial debut of Ralph Fiennes. He's also starring in it.
I think I've seen this, then.
It's Gerard Butler is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Watch the trailer, Chris.
So it's a romantic comedy?
It's a romantic comedy, yes.
I mean, it was supposed to be like a gritty, like...
It's like a modern reinterpretation of this Shakespeare play. Because it's like, everyone has like machine guns. And it's like modern Rome, I guess. But like, if Rome was still like a superpower today.
I like the idea. It's definitely... I do like modern updates of Shakespeare plays. Except for... freaking I don't like that movie.
But yeah, this movie looks badass. Like, it's like Ralph Fiennes, like, bald, like, with a knife, and, like, taking revenge on Rome, and, like, Gerard Butler's there. I mean, it seems like if, like, I don't know, Stallone or someone was gonna make, like, a Shakespeare, like, adaptation, it'd probably be, like, something like this, maybe. Or, like, it might be, like, the closest thing to, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Hamlet.
But what do we get, America? We got freaking Mel Gibson in a Hamlet movie. Mm-hmm. Shame, shame.
To be or not to be. To be.
Not to be.
Hey, Claudius.
Now, the best line in that whole thing is, "Stay thy hand, fair prince." And he goes, "Who said that was fair?" And it pans down and he's holding an Uzi.
Yep. Oh, he's smoking a cigar.
Yeah. Oh, God. Fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, this movie looks pretty awesome, I guess. It's already getting sort of, like, Oscar buzz, because I guess people have seen it, or maybe, or, like, just been preview screenings or something, I don't know. But it's coming out in Britain. I don't know if it's coming out in America, but... I don't know.
I hope it does.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I hope it does.
I hope it's not, like, there's so many, like, movies that, like, they probably do good or great here in America, but, like, they just don't release them. Like, all these, like, British movies. Like, fucking next week, Jason Statham, Blitz, is coming out, direct to DVD, and it came out in, like, theaters in Britain.
Better get ready for Blitz.
I know. I already have it reserved at Redbox, so.
I like it.
So, moving on, other news. There's some more G.I. Joe 2 casting news coming out last week. So one definitely confirmed and one possibly. So the possibly is that Bruce Willis might be in the movie as the original Joe.
What?
The original G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Like World War II or something? Or?
Yeah, it's about World War II because that's made... He was a government issue guy. And there's like, yeah. Hey, you, Joe, you're government issue. You're like, oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then like he didn't do anything after that. He like retired.
I hope it's like when they actually like, cause like the original G.I. Joe was like random like soldier guy. But then like they actually made like G.I. Joe and he was like the like it was like Kung Fu like Joe and stuff.
Oh man, the early 70s G.I. Joe shit, where they had like beards and afros, yes, and like black guys.
The beard, like, it was... the beard and like the kung fu grip.
Yep.
Like I want to see, I supposed to see like Bruce Willis like kung fu grip someone. So that, so I guess he's in talks for that, but it's not confirmed yet. But what is confirmed is that Walton Goggins is going to be in G.I. Joe 2.
Why?
Boyd Crowder! He's going to be playing some sort of, like, I guess Cobra Warden guy? I don't know.
I mean, like, it's funny that they're making another G.I. Joe movie. It's more embarrassing that this is the shit they should be doing the first time.
Yeah. Like, casting, like, The Rock and Bruce Willis and, like, other people.
Other famous actors, so people would be like, oh, okay, I'll go see that movie.
Like, oh, who the hell is... Like, Ray Stevenson, even though it's kind of okay, but... Instead of, like, Channing Tatum and Marlon Wayans and, like, other
people. That was all the budget. Yeah. Just... And, like, mech suits at break.
Yes!
Over one mission. I still can't get over the fact.
A mission they failed, by the way, because they, like... They had the Eiffel Tower blown up.
No, you don't give the rookies of the whole squadron, the whole, like, there was a lot of other G.I. Joes they could have given these to, yeah. But they give them to these just two new guys. Like, ah, we're going to train you for half an hour in these powered tech suits, send you to France, and fuck up a mission.
Don't give Snake Eyes, the super suit.
Well, he doesn't really
need it. I know, but, like...
He'd be a shitload better. That movie just pisses me off.
Give fucking Des Quaid the super suit.
Man, it's a chance. Took a like a blade to the back. Mm-hmm. Still a G.I. Joe.
Yep. Yeah, that movie was awful. Like, it probably would have been the worst movie of the year, if, like, because it came out the same year as Revenge of the Fallen. So, like, Revenge of the Fallen is, like, default the worst movie of the year.
You know, I don't know. It's still, like, a funny movie. I still liked it.
What, Revenge of the Fallen?
Yeah.
It's such a bloated mess.
Yeah, but, like, it's a very coherent blow-up mess.
It's not coherent at all, Chris.
The third movie, I still, like, Joe, every time I try to describe a Joe, it's, like, some sort of, like, trippy dream I had.
To my fucking robot heaven.
Yeah, but they went to space a couple times in this movie.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
And then they're, like, moon. But there are moon bots on the moon, and they just, like, forgot they were there, and no one cared. Like, I'm not going into it right now.
But two had, like, they're going to blow up the sun.
Techno heaven, I know. And
they might blow up the sun to, like, get energon, which I don't – how does that work? I don't know. Devastator had balls. There was racist robots. The most
– their motorcycle, bots that
– the most unrealistic college ever in a movie.
What, Princeton? That's what happens in Princeton.
Yeah, you have, like the entire floor is your room. Like,
dude, if you can get to Princeton, you get those dorms are pink.
Yeah, I don't know. whatever. G.I. Joe 2. Hopefully it's way better than the first one, which would not be too much of a stretch.
Hard to do. Yeah.
Just give fucking Cobra Commander his, like, hood or his helmet. Don't give him, like, a fucking Jason X weird mask thing.
How about, like, the Rise of Cobra, then show him at the end? He's like, ah, I'm Cobra!
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're arrested. Congratulations.
Also, like, isn't like, Zartan, like, the president now? Like, he took over for the presidents?
Yep. That was a pretty cool, like, plot, but I felt like that could have been the whole movie, but then there was, like, four different things going on at once.
I can guarantee they're not even going to discuss that in the movie, in the second one. They're just going to completely forget that.
I'm in the bet
they're just, like, completely, like, oh, yeah, they'll be like, people will be like, wasn't Zartan president when it comes out? They're like, oh, yeah, I guess he was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, other news came out. Actually, it's been like a couple weeks developing now, but the whole Frank Darabont Walking Dead disaster that's going on. Have you guys been following this?
Didn't the writer just up and leave?
So
that does not make me feel good about where the show is headed.
Yeah, it's a little discouraging. But so Frank Darabont was at the Comic-Con panel. Everything seemed fine. Then the Monday after Comic-Con, he was like, "I'm stepping down as the showrunner," or they said he was stepping down as the showrunner. Then, I guess, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, they said, nope, he was fired by AMC. Because, I guess, he was getting arguments about, like, he wanted more money, and AMC was like, no, you have enough money, we got to funnel more money into Mad Men, and... That was, like, the rumors, like...
Which, Mad Men doesn't strike me as a show that needs a terribly big budget.
Well, I guess the rumors, like, they want to keep Mad Men as happy as possible, so they're funneling money from other shows into Mad Men. Because it's, like, it's their breadwinner, so...
Well, it's like Breaking Bad and Mad Men, but Breaking Bad's ending soon. Isn't this like next season their
final season for Breaking Bad?
Yeah. So, I don't know who the hell is doing the marketing there, but the Killing did terribly.
Yeah. Pretty much like alienated every fan that was watching The Killing with the ending.
Yeah, and like...
The producer's like, I don't give a fuck. People just don't get it. It's an artistic choice. I'm an artist. But yeah, I guess they hired some new guy. I don't know what he's done, or I don't even know who he is. But Frank Darabont, like, he was gonna have unify like the writing room and stuff, and like make it more like coherent than like last season. Because like season one definitely it was like up and down from episode to episode. Like episode one was great, and then two was okay, and then three was great, and four was okay, and it was just like. So I think he was trying to like make like a steady level of quality, which I don't know what they're gonna do now. I mean, the trailer that came out kind of looked great. So
I still like don't want to see the trailer. I'll wait. I'll like be surprised each time.
It was like it didn't give that much away. It was just like them on the road, in like a like the RV arguing with each other.
And, that's like every episode. And,
Every couple seconds, someone's like, well, I'm leaving the group then. Put off my own. And then, like, they get attacked by zombies, and they come back to the group, and it's like, fine, I'm going off my own then. So, yeah, hopefully it's as good as the first season, but... I don't know. What do you guys... Any other thoughts about it?
I'm gonna give it a chance, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think Frank Darabont is the be-all, end-all of the show's success. But having said that, and I know that sounds like blasphemy to some people, but having said that, it's kind of discouraging.
I mean, I think he's responsible for probably, like, a lot of, like, the look of it and stuff. Especially, like, the first episode where,
Well, I'm like, I mean, aren't they done with most of the shooting now? For season
probably,
two?
Probably, I don't know.
They've probably been done now. It's probably all in post.
Yeah, it probably won't really have any effect like if they do season three.
Right. So to me it would be like firing Christopher Nolan during the post of The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wow, that's discouraging and that's like really off putting. But by that same token, like they kinda got what they needed from
mm-hmm.
it. You know, and I'm not trying to, like, villainize AMC here, but, you know, who knows? Maybe he was being unrealistic. Maybe, you know, more likely than not, it was probably both sides, because that is not the first time I've heard that Mad Men fundage issue come up. So, I don't know. I don't mm-hmm. know. You know, it's interesting, because it's really the only true horror series.
Yeah.
That's on TV right now. I mean, even Dexter isn't really horror anymore.
Wait, have you seen the trailers for that FX show that's coming up?
I was just going to transition into that. Like, American
Horror Story? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued.
What the hell is... Like, there's, like, some guys playing a woman, like, a violin and stuff, and there's, like, an evil baby doll, and I don't know what's going on.
Listen, I'm just looking for something to fill the void that Masters of Horror has
left
behind. So
is there any?
I would be fine.
Is it supposed to be like an anthology, or is there any information about it? I don't know.
I have not heard anything, but I've seen the trailers, and it's trending on Twitter apparently. Mm-hmm. And they're not even trailers; they're just like little
clip
snippets.
Promos,
so,
yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, it's not totally dead. I mean, I know that they're doing a Tales from the Crypt series again.
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Which
yeah,
it's
so
to,
that at least
supposed to be serialized though, which I don't understand.
Wait, it's going to serialize?
Yeah, it's going to be like an ongoing story. It's not an anthology.
Oh, God.
It's going to be like, as some, me and Chris were talking about, it's going to be like Friday the 13th.
Well, what a Fright Night. Oh, weird.
Or something. Like, I'm wondering if, like, trying to find a Crypt Keeper, like, the Crypt Keeper sends him out from, like, some quest or something. I don't know. So, moving on, we're talking about, actually, you mentioned Christopher Nolan, Joe. More Dark Knight Rises spy footage stuff coming out.
And I am of two minds on this whole spy footage thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's awesome in theory, but it's kind of like, scrambled porn.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, it's like, oh, man, we might get something. We might get something. And then it comes through and you're like, whoa.
I did not see that.
I'm probably going to have this on my bill, aren't I? So, basically what I mean by that is, as a fanboy, obviously, I'm kind of drooling over the prospect of seeing more stuff from the movie, but the more I think about it and the more spy stuff I see, you know, the more I realize that what I'm really waiting for and what I'm really hanging on is official stuff to be released.
Yeah.
Stuff that isn't going to be super spoiler heavy and out of context. Like the slew of pictures that have been released with Bane and, you know, girl who is not Talia al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
you know, all this stuff with Heinz Field and all these tumblers and, like, nuclear bombs and earthquakes. I'm like, you know what? Like, this is just getting to be too much for me.
Yeah.
And for me to say that, like, that takes a lot. You know, when The Dark Knight was being filmed, like, they really only had, like, cameras. You know, a lot of it was digital cameras. Most cell phones at the time, like, some of them had really decent cell phone cameras, but they weren't like they are now.
Yeah.
You know, and there wasn't Twitter, so, like, well, it wasn't popular, at least. So there was no, like, millions of people taking a shot and then instantly uploading it, and then it's just sort of out there. You know, I think the WB has sort of stopped in terms of trying to get rid of, like, spy footage and stuff like that. Because they know that people are just always going to find a way to get it, which obviously leads us to this Bat Transformer, Bat
possible Voltron, possible new vehicle. Everyone's saying
the Bat Mech.
People are saying that, like, is it a flying tumbler or something, or is it like Christopher Nolan's version of the Batwing?
Well, here's,
or is it just
here's
like
the thing.
Is it just a rig and like it's for like close-ups of the tumbler? I don't know.
There are two theories I have on this, but one of them is right and one of them is totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Batwing.
Okay.
It absolutely is, except it's not a plane. Like, and what I mean by that is that it's not like the Batman 89 or the Batman Forever Batwing that's going to be shaped like a bat and going to be, you know, I guess cool,
mm-hmm.
but totally unrealistic and kind of ridiculous. It's not that. What it looks like to me is just like the Batpod, how it came out of the tumbler.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like just the top section of the tumbler detaches, and it looks like almost like a hovercraft. It's like it's like the shape of a stealth bomber, but it works like a helicopter. If that makes any sense. Like, I doubt it's going to be able to go hundreds and hundreds of miles an hour like an actual jet would be able to. But that being said, I know it's definitely going to be used for flying. The only other thing I thought it could have possibly been is, like you mentioned, a rig. But it's so high up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why the tumbler, like, would be CG'd, number one, because they've always used miniatures in the past for it.
Or the full-size one.
Well, right. But, like, I don't know why it would be so high up. Like, would it be driving on, like, Rainbow Road? Like, would it be driving on, like, some sort of, like, mystery thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's really bizarre, but it looks like the sequences that they're shooting it with, like, they had it going through a tunnel chasing after Catwoman on the Batpod. Like, it just seems to me like it's going to be one of those ass-kicking, like, Batpod-esque sequences where it's like, well, better eject and do some cool shit
or, like,
on this.
Tire to get popped or something?
Yeah, something like
Damn
that.
Damn it, I blew a tire.
You know, every Bat, like, plane that it's featured in the movie always gets destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It's never like comes home safe. It's always destroyed by either a ridiculous Magnum, a blender,
a giant food processor.
Yep.
So I'm just like, what are we gonna throw out this time? Like, is he gonna crash into like?
Bane's gonna throw like a screwdriver into it or something.
Yeah, like, is Bane gonna flex at it? I don't know.
Speaking of Bane flexing, I have to say, I'm really hoping that there's some CG post-work going on, because I've yet to see anything where Bane looks, like, massively intimidating.
You know?
Like, I mean, and then again, this is just from the spy pictures, et cetera, et cetera. But Tom Hardy, I mean, he's pretty ripped, but he's not, like, a big, imposing dude by any stretch of the imagination. And similarly, like, you know, if you look at the teaser, he looks very big and intimidating and foreboding, and, like, he looks like how Bane should look. So I think they're going to be relying heavily on camera tricks. But from the spy pictures and footage and stuff, he just looks like a weird dude in a mask wearing, like, a lambskin coat. Like, he looks like a lost, like, sheep herder.
With, like, asthma.
Yeah, he's like, ah, has anyone seen my sheep? It's so smoggy. So, you know, I don't really know what to think of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also kind of hoping that Bane evolves, you know, like, because him and his, like, ragtag group of mercenaries look like they just rolled out of the hills.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But there's so many ridiculous things going around for this movie. It's like, oh, it's winter in Gotham. No, bro, it's nuclear winter. What?
Bane just set off a bomb!
Bane nukes the place. Look at the poster. It makes sense. I'm like, oh, man, you guys. I gotta get away from
Bane just detonated a nuclear bomb. Which one? All of them.
All of them. Oh, man. I'm waiting for December for the first full trailer.
Yes, that'll be like
that's what I'm waiting for.
The first, like, this is what the movie is going to be.
Yeah. Other than that, like, I'm excited and I keep checking, like, every now and then, like, non spoiler ish sites like Batman on Film. But you know, I just fucking I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
So, last bit of news for this week is that we learned the release date for World War Z, which is going to be December 21st, 2012. So,
wow.
A few days before the world ends.
That's awesome.
And we actually got some more plot details, too, which I know people were getting up in arms on the internet because it's, like, drastically different from the book. Which, did you guys read the book at all?
No, but I really want to because I love the Zombie Survival Guide and I'm a big fan of Max Brooks.
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, it's on par with, like, the Walking Dead comic.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, that awesome of a zombie thing. Did you read it, Chris?
Parts of it. I mean, I read the survival guide first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty much, it's like, what? Like, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, almost, I'm going to say. Except everything's zombie and, like, on Earth and fucked up.
Yeah, survival guide, but, like, World War Z is, like, this guy is, like, just, like, traveling around the world, like, interviewing people about, like, what happened during the zombie war.
It's like, yeah, the movie takes place, like, during the war, right?
It's, like, right at the, middle of the outbreak, which people, and it's just following Brad Pitt as, like, UN official Jerry Lane or something.
Whoa, it's gonna be Brad Pitt's gonna be
Yeah,
in
he's
it?
Starring in it.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that. For movies that I really want to see, I cut myself away from the world.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know he was in it. Wow, but spoiled it for me.
It's just him running around trying to stop the zombie outbreak.
What's Brad Pitt gonna do to stop a zombie?
I don't know.
Kill Nazis.
I'm just like, as long as they do like at least one or two of like the set pieces from the book and the movie, it should be pretty awesome. Like, there was a whole like Battle of Yonkers in the book, where like outside of New York City, there's like this like the army set up like this like perimeter. Like, yeah, we'll just kill the zombies, and it's like they got overrun because they learned like the zombies just kept coming no matter what they threw at them.
Yeah.
And then, like, actually, like, one of the awesome things in this book is, like, they come up with, like, this new gun called the Lobotomizer, which is, like, a shovel. It's, like, it's not a bayonet, but it's a shovel on the end of a gun. They just, like, smash zombies in the head with it. And then there's, like, there's a whole thing about, like, this, like, I think it was, like, a Russian submarine crew. Like, they took on, like, a bunch of survivors, and they're, like, they had, like, no supplies, and they kept, like, trying to, like, come up on land, but, like, zombies would attack them as soon as they came up on land. Or, like, near, like, an island or something, and the zombies attacked them. And there's, like, a Japanese kid, like, running through the woods with, like, a samurai sword and stuff. So, I mean, if they do, like, some of the stuff in the book, but, like if Brad Pitt's character, like, gets involved with, like, some of the, like, the set pieces from the book, then that should be pretty good. Oh, wait, another great one was, this, like, it was, like, Hollywood, and, like, this, like, mansion of, like, all of, like, the reality TV and, like, paparazzi targets were, like, in, like, this hotel, like, in, like, this, like, mansion, like, having, like, a party, because they thought they were, like, protected by their security and stuff, and Zombies just, like, completely overrun it, and it was, like, I think it was, like, a clear, like, Paris Hilton, like, copy getting, like, devoured by a zombie and stuff.
Huh.
Nice.
So, if stuff like that's in the book, in the movie, then it should be pretty good.
I feel it's gonna be, like, a better version of Zombieland.
Yeah, well...
So...
Well, not, it's not, like... I don't think it's going to be as fun as Zombieland.
Right, but, like, there was so much potential for Zombieland. Like, it began like, a really cool, like, guide, and then became, like, a really weird romantic comedy.
Well, where was he? Like, it's not a guide.
I know, but it's cool to see that, like, the world changed. They did that in the beginning of Zombieland, but then it just stops, and it's like, all right.
Zombie.
That's Zombieland. Like, oh. Yeah, so.
Like, well, so, like, I mean, it's definitely closer to Walking Dead.
Yeah, but, like, most zombie movies never explain they never really go much into the invasion part. They always, like, there's always, like, a person who wakes up during it.
Yeah, it's like during or after.
Yeah, but never, like, in the beginning. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, can't wait to see that.
It's probably not...
Even crappy Resident Evil did that.
Yeah.
It wasn't crappy, it was
shut up. Actually, I think that was one of the things I didn't put on the news, but did you guys hear the sixth Resident Evil movie coming out?
I don't want to talk about it.
Then like they're gonna like Leon Kennedy's supposed to be in it.
God,
I don't want to talk about it. Here's a great idea: let's just say fuck all and make Resident Evil 2 the movie. How about that?
Yeah.
Don't even call it Resident Evil 2. Just call it Resident Evil
reboot.
Yeah. Oh god damn! Talk about something that needs a fucking reboot.
Yeah.
We're rebooting Spider-Man after one bad movie, but we're just gonna let fucking Resident Evil go on forever. And
people apparently love Mila Jovovich.
No, they don't. No one's seeing those goddamn movies.
Well, apparently, they make it just enough to like be profitable. And it's just like, yeah, all right, another one.
I mean, I like the part there was many of them. So there was many Mila Jovovich. So I'm like, hey.
And, like the last one where it's like they're attacking Umbrella or something, and like what?
Yeah, they're attacking like Tokyo Branch and Umbrella. So that was kind of cool.
Stupid.
I don't know.
But after that, I gave up.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully World War Z will be good. It probably won't have, like, because there's, like, a ton of, like, political and, like, social stuff in the World War Z, like, a lot of commentary. There was, like, this whole thing about, like, the government wanted, like the world government wanted, like, sacrifice this, like, entire, like, section of Africa to, like, lure all the zombies there and, like, nuke it and stuff, so. I think Max Brooks is actually writing the movie, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's just like an author like continuing his work to make sure it's like the right thing, mm-hmm. the right authentic.
Yeah. So yeah, next December, catch it before the world ends. So that is all the news I have, unless you guys want, is there anything else you guys want to talk about, news-wise?
Not them, slow week.
Yep. Actually, did you guys see that, like, today came out... Recording this on Wednesday. Did you guys see, like, that... How Marty and Doc met on Back to the Future? Like, how the friends... No. Like, Bob Gale actually explained it.
Is something horrifying where, like, Marty was breaking into his garage
or
something?
Yes, he broke into his lab.
It had to be something
because,
like that.
Well, Bob Gale said, like, Marty is, like... When he was, like, 13 or 14, he kept hearing all these stories about how Doc was, like, this crazy, like, dangerous scientist guy. So he got curious and like he broke into Doc's lab and like found out like all this cool like he's like saw all this cool stuff. So he's like and Doc found him there and he's like, man, this stuff is cool. So like Doc gave him like a part time job as like his assistant.
Only like the 80s and like very early America could you get away with that.
Like breaking into his like house.
First of all, like breaking and entering, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that like you pick the crazy guy who's actually like a nice guy,
yeah.
Like one in a billion chance. I know, like, modern day, a kid breaks into, like, a lab who, like, is a person who is a kind of, like, a mad genius
He's gonna be like a pedophile, like he's
always a serial killer, or like
it's like it's one or the other. So, in a way, Doc was kind of like a pedophile. He was like hanging around young boys, like, hey, you want to go into the future, see when you get old, hang out with your kids.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's your official explanation, in case you're wondering about that.
I mean, that's what I like about Back to the Future. It didn't really explain the past too well. I mean, it did, in a way, when they went back to the past, but...
Which was the entire point of the first...
point in time of the movie, yeah. But that seemed like a really unnecessary detail. You're just like, they're just friends. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with it. I just want to know, like, why Marty's girlfriend keeps changing. He goes from Elizabeth Shue to, like, someone else, and then...
Yeah, whatever the first girl's name was. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Who actually did the voice for Jennifer in the game.
Oh, that's sad. They couldn't get Elizabeth Shue.
No. She's too busy doing, like, Piranha and stuff. So, why don't we get the New Year's Roundup for the week? And pick of the week is The Big Lebowski, finally on Blu-ray.
Nice.
The Dude Abides.
Mm-hmm. It's in a crazy, like, Blu-ray book thing, so it's got, like, a 28-page book with it.
Give me another one of them, Jasperos.
I want Sam Elliott to, like, narrate my life as a cowboy.
Goddamn, he's going to read my eulogy at my funeral.
There was a man called the Dude.
Make it so.
And there was, like, ferrets and... Jesus. Don't fuck with the Jesus. So, yeah, Blu-ray, finally. Also, this week we have Priest, the Paul Bettany religious vampire. The second Paul Bettany, like, religious action movie.
Oh, man.
So, unrated and rated editions. Which I wonder if the unrated version actually has action in it.
Oh, shit.
There's literally, like, two action sequences in that entire movie.
That's sad. That is really
sad. It is
sad. Because when I thought this movie, it's like, oh, it's going to be, like, all action and, like, crappy plot. Then it turns out it's, like, neither. Yeah. It's just, like, no plot, no action, just, like, people staring to, like, the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Paul Bettany and, like, Cam Gijedendead, that dude from Twilight or whatever. And, like, the douchebag from Never Back Down. Him just, like, him and Paul Bettany just, like, wandering around arguing in the desert. Following the vampire tracks. Going to, like, the vampire reservation.
Just, like, fuck around.
Yeah.
I get that, like, it's his niece that gets captured or something like that?
But then there's, like, a plot twist about that, too, at the end.
Go figure.
Yeah.
It's weird, because this is based off a Korean comic.
Yeah.
So it's just, like...
Which was, like...
The American version of, like, their scrambles.
Wasn't the Korean comic, like... It was, like, medieval times, though. I think it was, like, some sort of... It was, like... It wasn't the Wild West or, like, future... Was it Wild West or was it medieval, I think? Because, like, this priest... Like,
I don't know. I didn't
Priest
read
the movie
it.
Is, like, futuristic Western thing.
Which is kind of cool in a really weird way, but...
Yeah.
Just not with a vampire, like, this much, and then... Well, like, at certain points, they just forget that it's, like, future. And it's, like, now it's a Western.
Yeah, well, it's like, Firefly... Western, you know, like, there's spaceships, but everyone's, like, riding horses and, like, living in, like, super crappy, like, cabins in, like, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the future.
Yeah. It's got your favorite guy, Carl Urban, in it, Chris.
Urban, yeah.
It's, like, the evil vampire.
What was his name? Was Hat or something like that?
No one has names in this movie. If you go on IMDb, it's, like, Paul Bettany is Priest. Like, Maggie Q is, like, priestess, and, like, Carl Urban is, like, guy with, like, evil guy in hat or something, or, like, Black Hat or something.
Yeah, and his name is Black Hat, which I thought was a cool name in a weird way, you know, like, almost like a cartoonish way.
Evil Head of the Vampires.
That just wears, like, a nice cowboy hat. I saw the trailer with him in it, I was like, okay, I can see a movie with, like, an anti-hero, and it turned out he's not an anti-hero, he's just, like, this... evil guy in a crappy movie, so I was like, ow.
Like, it seems like he could have been, like, a great, like, crazy, like, villain, but they didn't let him, like, he only has, like, a couple scenes, and they didn't let him do anything with it. Because he wants to do a bunch of crazy mannerisms and stuff that he wants to do, but like it's just like they cut it out or they like don't do it or whatever.
Carl, what are you doing? Are you acting? No, no acting.
Like maybe a Gary Oldman like level like a villain.
Man, there hasn't been a Gary Oldman villain in a long time. Even in Book of Eli, he wasn't eccentric. He was just like, hey, this place is fucked up. I like you.
I like reading the Bible. Yeah, we need more like crazy Gary Oldman level, like Fifth Element Gary Oldman or like Leon Gary Oldman or something. Or like True Romance Gary Oldman, where he's like a crazy albino Rasta gangster drug dealer pimp guy.
Still, my favorite Gary Oldman's like Sid Vicious, just old school, yep. Young Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm. Or Russian terrorist.
whatever. That's his forte. Yep.
So yeah, Priest. Probably not the worst movie I've seen this year, but probably near the bottom. It's better than Sucker Punch.
Ooh.
Anything is better than Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch is going to be the worst movie of this year. Unless something like horrible, horrible comes out.
Worst movie this decade.
Probably, yeah. If that doesn't sweep the Razzies next year, then I don't know what's going on. So, also this week, we have Dexter Season 5.
John Lithgow.
Is that the last
season? Season 4.
Yeah. This was... who was in this one?
Julia Stiles.
I heard, like...
No, I'm really not kidding. That was Julia Stiles.
Was she a serial
killer? Yeah, I know.
Lumen.
No, she was the, like, apprentice.
She was apprentice. Yes. Okay. She's like the Jigsaw apprentice or something?
Kinda,
no,
and then
she's like Dexter's fucking weirdo, like, apprentice. Like, you're gonna watch me kill. It's like Training Day with Dexter.
Yep.
I just felt like he could have picked a better candidate. It just felt like, hey, you're kind of a psycho. Yeah. Why not?
Isn't, like...
Definitely not the strongest season, I can tell you.
That's what I heard about from a lot of people.
Yeah, like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't very good either.
Isn't Edward James Olmos going to be next season? Or something? Mm-hmm. I know Colin Hanks is going to be next season.
Yes, this is true.
And is Edward James Olmos?
They definitely... Yeah, Edward James Olmos, the dude who was Lean on Me.
Colin Hanks?
Colin Hanks is also like... It's like the reverse group, because it's like that Edward plus Colin Hanks,
yeah.
And they're like a duel. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. The emotional like roller coaster was season 4. I can't get that back. Man.
Yeah. It's still on Netflix. And it's watched. I gotta watch it sometime. I haven't watched any of Dexter. It's in my like list of shame, along with Mad Men and stuff.
Whoa, Mad Men.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I gotta try to start watching that because it's on Netflix and to watch now. All of it.
I mean, my list of shame is Rescue Me and Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Pretty much like FX shows.
Mm-hmm.
League.
Justified.
Justified. Was it Blue Mountain? Just all these FX shows.
Blue Mountain State? That was not a Spike.
Wow, I am off.
Wow, I heard that. Isn't that show canceled or something, probably? I don't know. Wasn't Joe a big fan of that show?
Yeah, he was. Until, like, it just ended or something.
Yeah. If he didn't leave, he probably would have said something.
Yep.
Defended it. So, also this week, Something Borrowed. Yet another Kate Hudson movie.
Is that the one where she's trying to get married at the same time as her friend?
Well, she, like, stole her friend's boyfriend or something in college, and then, like, she wants to get him back or something. I don't know.
I'm thinking about Bride Wars.
Bride Wars. I know, you get your romantic comedies confused, Chris.
I do.
You watch so many.
Kate Hudson in it. I forget why she's in it. Whatever.
Jim from The Office. also this week, you have The Conspirator. The Abe Lincoln.
The what?
It's like a movie about like the Abe Lincoln conspiracy. Of, like, there was like the whole trial after Abraham Lincoln got assassinated, where like they were like accusing like Mary, like the one lady, like they're gonna like hang her or something.
The first lady?
No, like this lady, Mary Surratt, was like the mother of one of the dudes who like planned the assassination, and so they put her on trial in front of like a military court. And they're pretty much like, they're basically gonna like hang her, or like it's like basically it's like a joke trial, then they're gonna hang her, and then like one like the Union generals had like be like her lawyer.
I never heard of this.
Yeah, it was in theaters for like 2 weeks. But it was directed by Robert Redford.
He knows movies.
He does.
So
it was definitely an old person movie.
It's definitely like a weird historian Civil War like fan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that history. I had really bad public schooling.
You watch a lot of History Channel. Then you probably like watch
old History Channel, new History Channel. I can't watch anymore.
Where it's all just like reality shows.
Reality shows and just like really weird like experts.
Mm-hmm.
I do like History Channels. Like,
did you see Civil War? Like the Civil War special they did. That's pretty awesome.
Like Gods in General. They always play that movie.
It was like a week long. Like, did you see like America: The Story of Us?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm a terrible America.
They're doing like these like hyper like dramatized like reenactments of like American history, and they have like experts talking about it, and they have like a ton of like super like CGE and stuff. But it was like they did like a Civil War one. It was like all the like some like untold stories of like all the different battles and stuff, and like how the battles went out. And America's Story of Us was like a bunch of like never before told like or like seldom told stories about American history, like how like Abraham Lincoln had like this like insane like spy network during the Civil War, like he had like an entire like intelligence branch going on.
I don't know anything from that era. I always remember of Wild Wild West, so I try not to think about like inventions and like ooh like did you know this was there like.
Yes, there's a whole episode about the giant spider that Abraham Lincoln developed.
And he just hid away. He's like, oh, this is too great.
The Confederacy, like, stole the plans for it. So, yeah, Conspirator out this week. Also this week, Hoodwinked 2, the sequel to Hoodwinked, which I still cannot believe that movie got a fucking theatrical release. It was direct-to-DVD quality at most.
Did you see it?
It was... I walked in there, it was like five people every show.
Oh, well.
Which I think it was in theaters for like 2 weeks. It made like $100,000 or something. It didn't make a ton of money.
Hoodwink, if you look up the word, besides being like swindled...
Yeah.
There's another really dirty meaning to it. Like, it's actually like a very perverted act. So that's why I laugh at the title.
But yeah, I mean, I walked in there and it's like... The animation looks like college senior, like, final project level animation.
Yeah. Awesome blocks, yep. And missing, like, frames. Mm-hmm. No rigged models.
No textures.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like the first draft of, like, the animation. Like, characters not moving for, like, 5 minutes.
Or just mouth, blinking.
Just their mouth moving.
That's terrible.
So yeah, it looked
like,
awful.
Like, here's the thing: there's no like demand for Hoodwink, because I remember like Hoodwink, the first movie, came out like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was like 2006 or something like that, somewhere around there.
Something like that. And like, there's no demand for it.
It was definitely like that weird like DreamWorks era, where it was like Over the Hedge and like Beast, like B movie, and all those other movies.
What was the movie before that? Shark movie or
Shark
something?
Tale?
Shark's Tale. Oh.
The Will Smith movie.
Will Smith movie, and the one where, like, all the Italian American organized societies got, like, an agreement to, like, hate it together.
Didn't Shark Tale come out the same year as Finding Nemo?
I think it did. Guess which one I saw.
Mm-hmm. I bet you saw Shark Tale, didn't you, Chris?
No.
Yeah, I watched a Will Smith movie.
I didn't see, that's, like, the only Will Smith movie I haven't seen. That and 9 Pounds.
He did a
song. Or 7 Pounds.
Seven, oh, yeah. I just read, like, the Wikipedia explanation for that. Because it was, like, everyone was, like, the shocking twist at the end. So it's like, okay, what's the twist? Okay, that was stupid. Glad I don't see that movie now. So, also this week on Blu-ray, if you want to, like, build your Blu-ray collection with some B-level Stallone movies, this is your week. So we have Cobra, Demolition Man, Assassins, and The Specialist all on Blu-ray this week.
That's actually not bad.
No.
Is that on the same disc? Or the same pad?
They're all separate, but...
Oh.
I don't know if they, they've been on Blu-ray before or what, but they're all on Blu-ray now, so...
Someone, you, Joe, Brian, you need to own Demolition Man. We gotta see that shit in Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably get... Demolition Man is amazing.
It's always on TV, but yet it's always on and, like, we'll watch
it. I have the DVD version of it. I don't know. I might upgrade the Blu-ray, maybe.
Depends if you get, like, more special features.
They'll explain how the three seashells work, finally.
Oh, man. There's always, like, these online theories of how they work. With diagrams.
Oh, my God.
And always,
disgusting,
like,
diagrams of, like, you scrape with one and then wipe with the other one or something.
Then use, like, the third one to, like, clean the two. I was like, that kind of makes sense, but it's like, really? Like, ew.
Yeah.
Specialist is a very... I think it's one of those underrated movies. I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Assassins is pretty good, too.
Oh, man. Assassins was, like, Antonio Banderas' like, fifth movie or something like that.
And he's just, like, insane.
Oh, he's a great character.
Yeah. I love, like, all the create, like, there's, like, especially, like, the funeral. There's, like, the one scene that they go to trying to kill the guy at the funeral. Like, Antonio Banderas, like, shows up with, like, I forget, they shoot him from the, like, Stone had, like, a cast. Like, he's, like, this, like, elaborate, like, cast gun arm. Like,
arm cast, yeah.
With a gun in it. And Antonio Banderas just, like, shows up and shoots the guy.
Yep. Oh, it was cool, because, like, and they're also playing, like, virtual chess on a really shitty computer.
Yep.
And that was, like, meaningful, but, like, because it was a Stallone kind of movie, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the twist comes out of nowhere, where they're both hired to kill this guy, they both were hired by the same guy, you know, I was like, what?
Well, that's, like, typical, like, Hitman movie.
Like, was this, like, the dude was his partner, right?
Yeah, well, Stallone was, like, he, like, he thought he killed him in, like, the swamp or something, like, years ago.
Did they ever explain that in the beginning?
Yeah, I think that was the beginning scene where, like, he, like, goes in the swamp and, like, kills the guy.
Oh. I don't remember, like, why, but I just remember, like, this evil fat dude at the end. He's like, I hired both of you to kill each other, to kill me.
Yes.
Again, and then they actually kill him again. I was
and
like,
then I, hired,
this is
I
the
also
guy.
Hired you to kill Julianne Moore as a hacker.
Yeah, I was like, this is the shittiest plot. Like, why would you do this? But whatever, it was this cool cat and mouse game.
Yeah. It's kind of slowed in the middle. Because you're like the whole, like, Stallone, Julianne Moore, like,
flirtation
thing. And then Cobra is just Cobra.
Oh, man. Cobra defined a good chunk of the 80s.
It did.
You are the disease. I'm the cure.
Just, like, drinking a Coors. like, one of the greatest opening scenes ever in a movie. The whole, like, supermarket hostage situation.
Yep. And I just like his, his machine gun, flamethrower gun.
Yeah.
It's a basic machine gun. Some machine gun with, like, a red laser, but then it had that flame.
Well, no, the flame is, like, the laser sight, I think. On the cover.
Was it?
Yeah. Which I don't think... I don't remember if he even uses it. He uses, like, his, like...
He does?
He uses, like, his, like, pistol... His, like, Cobra ivory pistols.
Oh, no. Near the end of the movie, he uses a shitload.
Yeah, he's, like, an arsenal.
Yeah, but,
Oh, man. And the villain of Cobra is just amazing. The Night Slasher.
Oh, man.
Brian Thompson.
That dude, like... Have you seen him recently? His, like, face?
Yeah.
It's so beat up.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, that movie and Mortal Kombat 2 was, like, the only Brian Thompson... I know that guy. Like, that's
yep.
it.
That's wasn't he Shao Kahn?
Yeah. Yep. And terrible.
Man, I just look, like, he doesn't even talk in Cobra. It's, like, the end.
And then he's just like spewing out really weird sentences, like, "Hey, I know you."
He's like, so he has like this like whole like manifesto of like, "The new world order is gonna take over. Kill you, pig."
It's like, oh wow, the 80s.
There's an amazing like animated gif of him like talking. And it's just like spit just like flying everywhere.
I did like, the one part of Cobra I always remember the most is near the end, which you know. Most movies, everyone's gonna remember. They go to that orange grove,
yep.
And then they go into that like industrial, like
it's like
metal siding place. I was like, "What the fuck?"
It's one of the many, many factories in the '80s that just produces like molten metal and sparks,
and like shiny, pointy objects everywhere. Yep. I remember there was like, just a wall of fire, like there was a pit of fire that like that Cobra like that sort of someone like waited.
It was just like a giant oven that like you put like metal hooks into.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this? And there's no, like, security. There's no, like, prevention methods. Like, that's it. If you get caught, you're fucked.
Yeah, it must have been, it was, like, abandoned or something.
No. It was a real factory, because there was one guy working, and then they shoot him. Yep. And then the whole place is still operational, so I was like, wow.
Thank God it's one guy working Saturday.
Yeah, 80s movies.
That one Saturday. Everyone else gets a day off.
The fantasy warehouse of this metal and sparks.
Oh my god. I'm gonna have to do musical montage next week. I gotta do the montage of like Stallone just like driving through the city, and then it's like also like the weird like Brigitte Nielsen like modeling montage.
Oh god. I forgot she's supposed to be hot in this movie.
She's like posing with robots and stuff. So, other releases, we have John Carpenter's The Ward on Blu-ray and DVD this week.
I have no idea that movie is.
It is, it's got Amber Heard in it, and it's about, like, this girl, she gets, like, put into, like, a mental institution, and, like, the mental institution is haunted or something.
Awesome. John Carpenter knows a movie, knows a story.
He will never top,
The Thing.
Well, yeah, it's older movies, but also, like, recently, Pro-Life.
Oh, God. I forgot he directed that.
He needs to get, like that level of ridiculousness. Like, that was where I was going to say, like, he did, like, My Soul to Take, but that was Wes Craven.
He did direct what?
Ghost of Mars was his last movie, and then he did, like, Pro-Life, and then he did, like, something else, I think, maybe?
I thought he did I Saw in Precinct 13 again.
No, that was some other guy.
Oh.
I think that might have been, like, John McTiernan or something. Or, like, Paul W.S. Anderson or something. Like, one of those, like, Oh, no, it's just some French guy, I don't know.
But, the last John Carpenter movie that I was like, okay, he's losing it, was, Vampires. That was, like, that weird James Wood movie where, him and, like, his team, they're, like, vampire hunting in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then a sequel was the one with Bon Jovi instead. And I was like,
Bon Jovi. Well, that was before, that was, like, that was his last movie for, like, a couple years, and then he made Ghosts of Mars.
And they went back into hiding.
Nope. And they did two Masters of Horror episodes. So, yeah, The Ward, I think they got released in, like, 3 theaters, and now it's on DVD, so.
That tells you something.
Yep. Also, this week you have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Season 9. Which, the original Ninja Turtles cartoon.
I thought they released them all.
I don't know. Season 9, it's brand new.
Alright. I actually like the newer ones, but the old ones always have a place in my heart and my childhood.
Like the,
so.
Like the 2001, 2002 series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that series was great.
It got progressively like weirder, like, granted, but
what's how they, like if you read the original comics, they got super weird in like the fifth issue.
Yeah, so but that's why I'm
like they like go through like an intergalactic gateway to like the Triceratops planet, and like fighting gladiator games.
Yeah, but like ever watch the third season where they go to the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jesus. But yeah, we'll save like a rant about that. All I can say is that the Angry Video Game Nerd, he did a review on the DVDs, and like once they get to a certain season, they start editing them.
Yeah.
And then they get crappier. Like that's, and then they stop production. Like, cause they always get like sold out to someone. So that's why I just never collected.
Well, them. Didn't you say like a new one? It was like, they did like a, like up to a certain season and they stopped and they started like releasing them as like full seasons after that. Like they like, started re-releasing them again.
Like, yeah. Like,
they were like releasing them as like volumes or like, or different, like weird, like you get like six episodes of DVD or something. Like,
yeah. I know there's, like, collection volume, and then there's, like, best ofs. I was like, well,
yeah.
Just never
then they started doing, like, straight, like, season. They started doing, like, straight, like, season one, season two, season three. But they never finished them either, I don't think.
Nope.
And then you, wasn't he talking about, like, how, like, the original cartoon was, like, fucked up, too?
Yeah, they released them all differently in order.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, part of, like, season two on the season three discs and stuff.
Like, I like no other kind of show has that kind of like unorganized structure of releasing.
Yeah,
you, like that's like 24 being released, and like half four of the episodes in that 24 like episode arc is like, another season.
Yeah, like best of season one. Here's six episodes, like six like hour one, five, seven, 10, 12, and 20. And it's like, what's going on?
It's really fucked up. It's like hour one and hour 24. Yeah. It's like, what?
What the hell happened?
It's like, all the primary characters are there, but what? Why is Jack dirty? What?
So, last things out this week, we have Muppets Take Manhattan and Muppets from Space on Blu-ray.
Only one of those movies is worth watching.
Yes.
Any guess which one?
Muppets from Space?
Ah, you failed.
I think Muppets Take Manhattan is probably my favorite Muppet movie.
I always forget the plot between the first Muppet movie and this Muppets Take Manhattan. Like, they're very similar.
The first one is like them meeting each other, I think, right? Because they never met before, I think, before the Muppets movie. And then, like, Muppets Take Manhattan is like them, like, Kermit's trying to, like, open a theater and, like, well, Kermit wants to, like, have, like, a Broadway play, I think, is the plot of Muppets Take Manhattan. He's trying to, like, gather all the Muppets together, like, to put on this play.
Wait, which is the one where, someone tries to seduce Miss Piggy?
That is.
He's, like, a jewel
the
thief?
The Great Muppet Caper.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And then there's Muppet Treasure Island, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppet Treasure Island, Muppet Christmas Carol, like, just my favorite holiday-esque movies. Except for Treasure Island, it's not really a holiday. No, it's more like Get Drunk in the Summer. It's a definitely Get Drunk in the Summer movie. But Muppet Christmas Carol is like awesome.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the new Muppets movie is going to be awesome.
I don't know. It's definitely going to be like Panther Tour, like a little bit of a mature audience, but never to the point like it had in, like, the early 70s and 80s, where they were definitely, like, really hitting dirty jokes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it's really PG, probably, because it's Disney.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, they're bringing back, like, tons of, like, old characters and stuff. Fucking Uncle Deadly.
Still, like, I don't know who that is.
No one knows who Uncle Deadly is, but he's like, the most awesome Muppet character ever. He's like a crazy Muppet dragon that like lives. He's like the Phantom of the Muppet Theater. He like lives around like the rafters of the Muppet Theater. And he only showed up as in like the Vincent Price episode.
I mean, my favorite characters are always like obscured characters. Besides like Swedish Chef, there's what Sweetums.
Yep.
The tall Muppet.
Yep.
There was that roster Muppet. They had in the
oh my
Muppets,
god
like tonight.
Please bring him up.
Oh man, because he's such an underrated character.
You should do a list of like the underrated Muppets,
unappreciated Muppets. I'm pretty sure there's a wiki somewhere just like a list of Muppets.
Well, yeah, it's like MuppetWiki.com or something. I think there's like Bobo the Bear.
Yeah, Bobo's cool. He's what's his name? He reminds me of The cop from Super Freak, from Freakazoid.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never watched the show.
Okay. He's like the white guy in the Boondocks.
Ed Asner.
Yeah.
I think it was an episode of Ed Asner on the show, and they just had them together.
Probably, yeah.
I forgot, but that's why I associate Bobo with, like, Ed Asner.
Mm-hmm. I love Electric Mayhem. Hopefully they have, like, a song or something, the new one.
That's the other thing about the Muppets. They only have, like, they only have one band in the whole universe. Yep. It's always them.
Electric Mayhem. Dr. Teeth. Animal. I can't remember what's the other couple. Like Janice.
There's that chick dude. Yeah, Janice, the chick dude that no one could. I think he was originally a guy, and then they just made him to a dude, and they just called her Janice. Yep. So.
There's like the bass guy. I can't remember his name.
He's just blue and has like that bald patch. That's why I mean, like. I don't know what day it has to be, but I have to like sit there and like study the Muppet like order.
Like study, like figure out all the Muppets.
Mm-hmm. So I gotta like go to the movie and name them out loud. Yep. Point to like little kids, like, "Hey, you seeing this? It's that character."
Like,
hey.
What's like the rabbit?
Oh God.
Who's like Kermit's assistant?
Yeah. Again, like that's definitely like a special or something.
Yeah.
That takes some time.
Yeah. Maybe we can do like a Muppet show when the Muppets come out. We talk about Follow That Bird too.
We could. That definitely is. It falls in line with it.
When like Sesame Street was awesome in like the 70s and early 80s.
Dude, that movie and Big Bird Goes to China.
Big Bird Goes to China.
It's the most propaganda Chinese like American thing I've ever owned.
Have you seen the new Karate Kid?
Besides that, but like that's not a kid's thing.
No,
like kind of it is, but this is like blatantly for like little American babies. So like, oh, China's like peaceful.
Hey, American
and,
kids,
like,
come to China.
Yeah, come, bring your money.
We have thick Apple stores and DVDs, bootleg DVDs. You want Dark Knight Rises before it comes out in theaters?
No, it's gonna be like Dark Knight Ascends or something. Yep. Something really weird.
Super terrific Batman hour. Should that probably be like Japan?
Yeah.
Super terrific fun Batman time.
It's just like Batman and Robin.
Or it's like
oh, I've been gypped. Oh man.
It's just like Dark Knight Rises was like intercut with like Adam West Batman.
It's the first minute of the trailer, then it goes to like Batman the 60s episodes.
Yep. It's like Batman running around with a giant bomb and like fighting a shark. Oh man, good times. So yeah, that's all the new releases we have for this week. So I think that's gonna do it for this week's show. Unless anything else you want to talk about, Chris?
I good. We covered superheroes, Muppets, crappy
the entire spectrum,
crappy vampire movies. Yep. Yeah, we did pretty well today.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited for anything coming out this weekend?
I kind of want to see Fright Night, but. Everything that happens in the movie happens in the trailer.
Yeah, so that first trailer, like you see every plot point.
Like the McLovin gets introduced, and then the next frame is him getting his neck bit. So I was like, oh, what's the point? It's like, your neighbor's a vampire.
Like,
and then he just like ends up blowing up
their house and stuff, and like them like the final battle pretty much, except for like not, you don't see Colin Farrell getting killed, but like
you can't enter a house. Like, what if there's no house? Ooh, blew your mind. Like, oh.
God. I gotta watch the original Fright Night, so.
It's a little hard to watch.
Isn't it got Roddy McDowell in it?
I don't know.
Like, Planet of the Apes star Roddy McDowell?
Maybe?
I think he's like the David Tennant. He was like the magician in the old one. That David Tennant's doing now for this one.
I gotta watch the original one. It starts out slow and then slowly gets that level of like awesome, and then it's like it's definitely at that peak of oh god, what's the same producer who made Fright Night? The 80s one.
I don't know.
It's a little kid. He takes on all the classic monsters.
Monster Squad.
Yeah, it's made by the same guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he gets that level like. Fright Night was his first movie. Then Monster Squad was the second movie. Then he didn't make any other movies after that.
Well, I mean, when you make Monster Squad, I mean, where else can you go?
That's true. But yeah, like he wrote and directed Fright Night, and then he did Monster Squad. But like you could see like how the beginning of Fright Night, it's boring. it's really kind of like it drags, and then it gets kind of good.
It's
and
the
then
Lost
ends.
Boys.
Yeah, it's definitely not a Lost Boys, but it definitely
does. Yeah, I think
it definitely it gets that like Monster Squad level later
you
on.
Here we go, Fright Night. I think definitely got overshadowed by Lost Boys. As like the definitive 80s vampire movie. I think Fright Night probably used like a crazy like greased up guy with playing a saxophone more in the beginning.
That is just the craziest like beach party festival.
Yeah.
It's filled with like old like very not hip people.
Mm-hmm.
Even for the 80s standard, I gotta admit, like everyone's kinda old. And they're just hanging out like teenagers and smoking and drinking on a beach with fire and shit. I was like, okay. It's kind of like a punk version of a Gathering of the Juggalos.
That's another thing. That's another musical montage entry. That scene, just like the guy playing saxophone. And like,
is he like a famous saxist or something?
I don't know. But I just remember, like Corey Haim is like fascinated by him. You can tell by the look in his face. He's like
staring at
the
or the chest.
I know my reason for living now is in my like white leather duster with like color patches on it. There's also Conan and
The Help.
Well, The Help was last week, which almost beat Rise of the Planet of the Apes at the box office.
Wow.
That thing is like old person cat litter. Like old person catnip. Like,
no, cat litter could be the same.
I don't know. Hopefully they're not doing what they do with cat litter in the theater, but... But yeah, like every show at my theater has been like sold out. It's like The Blind Side all over again.
Oh god.
The Blind Side was insane. We had it for like 5 months. Like the month before it came out on DVD, we finally got rid of it.
People are still going, we should watch The Blind Side again. Mm-hmm.
Like 2 months later, like there's a line wrapped around a theater for it.
I just remember the someone edited a poster and it said white guilt.
Yep.
So I can't imagine The Help is gonna be called just like white guilt again. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and Spy Kids is also out.
Oh, yeah. God. I might see it just for Joel McHale. Just
it's like, what are you doing?
Really? Like, what bet did he lose? Is the suit doing that bad?
He was, like, bored.
Hang out on a blue screen? Why not? Mexicans? Fuck yeah.
Dave Trejo's there?
It's like half of the people who that's in the movie he makes fun of and like in the soup.
Yeah.
So I feel it's kind of weird for him to be in it. And I mean, it's cool. If I was little and I didn't know what good movies were, I might be into Spy Kids.
Like
you know,
because like, wait, we get the smell of the movie?
Get to smell Jessica Alba? I just might go to a movie theater, steal the smell sheet, and watch Conan with it. Oh, man, Conan smells like a patch of strawberries. Awesome.
Blood smells like cinnamon. Blood? Yeah.
Yeah. I should take that smell sheet to every other movie I go watch.
The hell?
Just have a day experiment of it.
Yep.
Oh, man.
All right, so I think we should definitely finally wrap this up. That was another awesome weekend preview tangent. But if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. We have reviews, features, aforementioned musical montage every Monday where we highlight music from movies. Actually, this week we had the awesome montage from No Surrender, featuring some of the most bizarre exercises ever seen on film, including like the lay in between two benches and do pelvic thrusts into your black friend eating an ice cream cone. and the slam your back against the basketball hoop upside down.
That kind of toughens up your spine.
Yeah.
I guess.
I guess the ghost of Bruce Lee told him to do that, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that movie. I think the Chinese community all got together from around the world and told whoever owns that right to never show that movie again.
Yep. Because they got buried.
It's as disgraceful to to Bruce Lee's legend as the Game of Death is. it's like right next to it, yep. If you can believe that.
So yeah, that's Monday. We got we're having action, like we have an extensive library of the action heroes of the week. So we have I think we have 11 pages of action heroes now. Actually, like action hero profiles, if you want to go check that out.
Awesome.
Yeah, reviews, all sort of ton of stuff going on at everythingaction.com, so definitely head over there. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is our Facebook page. We post news stories during the week. You can see our posts from the website as they go up. You can send us links, you can comment. So definitely, if you're on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction is our Twitter account. You can see, we tweet a bunch of news stories. You can see posts as they go up there, too. Sometimes we live blog movies. I actually live blogged Conan the Barbarian, the original, a couple weeks ago, like last week, if you want to check that out. I think we might actually talk about Conan next week, so definitely listen to next week's episode. And we're on iTunes if you want to go to iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast, rate us, leave comments. Also on the iTunes Music Store is our app you can download for your iPhone and iPod Touch. It's free, gives you the last 20 news stories, and you can also listen to the podcast. And you can send us an email at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Joe and Chris, I'm Zach, and we'll see you next week.